Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 765. And this is Kevin DeFrango on the other end, Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. Just packed and ready to go to Las Vegas for Money in the Bank.
That is the thing for you this week. How are you feeling in general after, because you're going to be in Vegas for SmackDown, if I'm not at SmackDown, but for SmackDown, correct?
SmackDown's in Phoenix.
Oh, okay, but you're going to be in Las Vegas, though, the day that it's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will not be watching.
Right. So this is, yeah, Raw is your last hype for it. You got a lot of John Cena.
Yeah, a lot of John Cena who will not be in Las Vegas this Saturday. And didn't exactly give any indications as to the next time we're actually going to see him. If you think about it.
I mean, I feel like Austin Theory has referenced John Cena a number of times in promos, maybe two or three, especially recently, and they definitely had a dust-up backstage.
They did. But nothing really came of it. John Cena absolutely big-timed him and blew him off. Now, has John Cena been paying attention? Has he done his due diligence and realized this Theory character is a dud? And there's just no, there's nothing in it for Cena for doing this.
No, I mean, that's the biggest problem. Like, if he beats Theory, which he should, there's nothing to gain from it. If he loses to Theory, like, I don't feel like they're that close to pushing him to Cena level yet.
No, he would beat John Cena, and then he would, what, beat Ezekiel next? I mean, there's no... there's no real upward trajectory after that for a heel when the champion's a heel. I guess there's a possibility in all of this. In the next couple of months, we will see a Roman Reigns defeated and there be a babyface champion. I mean, that's... It's very possible, so it would be a place for a heel to step up, but once again, this guy just doesn't have it. There's just nothing there. Honestly, they probably should just drop him to Lashley and cut their losses.
Well, yeah. I mean, that is still an extremely weird spot to be. I don't know. It's one of those situations where I feel like they value him because they've given Austin Theory Theory for a while now. But they've given Theory a lot of promo time, a lot of in-ring time. They have definitely invested in him. They've also done the same for Bobby Lashley. And the fact that he came out on the winning end of an Omos feud, it would be super awkward for him to lose to Theory.
It really would, because, God, he came out of that. You know, I have my misgivings with how the Omos feud was played out, but... God, he got such a monster reaction that night in Chicago. They did it right with him, you know, tapping MVP and not beating Omos. And people were crazy for him. You easily could have moved him into contention against Roman Reigns from that. Instead, they moved him into contention for the United States Championship against the just not over Theory. Let's be really honest about that. And it's this match where, based on positioning, neither guy should lose. Based on actual potential, Lashley shouldn't lose.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, That's again. I'm kind of hoping that they've, put Theory in these prime spots and realized he's just not cutting the mustard. And I think John Cena might be smart enough to realize that. And to if, and once again, I don't know. John Cena did not leave us with any indication that he plans to be at SummerSlam.
And I guess that, to round it back like you did to the starting point. He had that interaction with Theory, but I'm in agreement with you. It didn't really scream, hey, I'm definitely coming back for a match against you.
Yeah, I guess Theory could get the ball rolling, but here's the thing. Theory has to be Lashley for this to make sense.
That is also true.
He can't come off of losing the U.S. title and then start challenging John Cena. Then you're bringing John Cena back for a match akin to that match he had against Corbin after he'd been gone for a while and was in the opening a match of SummerSlam about 5 years ago.
wasn't Corbin a secondary champion at that point, too?
No, it was that Corbin had won Money in the Bank and then blew it because of John Cena's distraction, but... he blew it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Cena Corbin match at SummerSlam was the opener, had no heat. It was the biggest waste of John Cena you could possibly imagine. Possibly until SummerSlam 22, if he's going to take on Theory in a match that's not for the United States Championship.
Oh yeah, I.
At that point, you might as well just do Cena versus Omos. Just do the paint by numbers. Do the Cena versus Big Show match, Cena versus Kali match, and have Cena hit the attitude adjustment and win. Because at least he's beat a giant at that point.
Yes, there is at least something in that. For Cena. Just like you said, because he's a giant and he's a fresh giant, it's at least something of an accomplishment.
Yeah. Now the match. Go ahead.
It is what it is, It's not going to be anything special. And
now the match I think there seems to be some real enthusiasm for Cena to have at SummerSlam would be Cena versus one Intercontinental Champion Gunther. That could be something.
Gunther has definitely proven himself more than just about anyone on the main roster, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he has absolutely fit into what the main roster... essentially what Vince McMahon wants his German monster heel to be. As opposed to, a certified best bout machine like he was in NXT UK and NXT. But he can still turn it on and be that guy for what would be certainly the biggest match of his entire career.
I would in no way be concerned about him in a main event spot. Main event spot, wrestling-wise. And you're right, they haven't, at least on the main roster so far, they have not asked a whole lot of him. He's just been crushing people.
He has acclimated himself completely. And a lot of people thought, he does his things his own way. He never wants to leave Europe. He could never adjust his style in any way. No. He's changed a lot about himself, and I had some grievances with it early, but you know what? It's worked out for him. And he's still Gunther, he's still Walter, just a slimmer, more jacked version of him that doesn't, go all out in every single match to have a match of the year candidate.
Because you don't need to. To get your character over, you don't need to, and they have done quite a good job of getting his character over. And that would be a pretty enjoyable match. Now I'm just
side watch is still be Theory.
I mean, my bets would still be on maybe something along that line because they do, again, because of their interaction just on its own merit. It would seem like that'd be a target, but yeah, it's a super awkward target, as we've already mentioned. You know, I had a lot of fun. It was one of those, I didn't watch the first 30 minutes or so of Raw last night. I just watched that shortly before recording this also. There was a lot of stuff that I really enjoyed about that Cena return. His other, and I guess I was thinking along the lines of interactions, him with the Street Profits was a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoyed that backstage segment.
Yeah, I did too. And of course, the one with Ezekiel, and of course, Ezekiel having to say, like, I'm one of your biggest fans. It's so great to meet you for the first time.
And they are really dragging Elrod's name around at this point and really making this a gimmick.
It's funny. I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, Kevin Owens had whatever injury, illness, travel issue he had, so they couldn't go through with the match they'd advertised the week before. Hopefully we'll still get that soon. I guess it would... As of that morning, it was supposed to be a Money in the Bank qualifier, so there's still a spot left in the months of Vince Money in the Bank, even after the Last Chance Battle Royal. So I guess we'll have to resolve that on SmackDown.
The last chance.
John Cena absolutely provides a spark anytime he's around. You know, absence has made the heart grow fonder for John Cena. You know, he crossed the bridge to being that beloved legend quite a while ago.
Like, it's almost funny at this point, because he brought it up again about the crowd not always agreeing with him. I'm kind of sitting there going, John, that's been a while ago now. Like, I think everyone's kind of been on board for the most part. Like, I'm sure that there are still some people that they weren't his biggest fan out there. But you had to have at least some level of respect for him because of, that guy has put in as many years as just about anyone else in the WWE.
Yeah, of course, yes. Pretty much the exact 20-year anniversary they nailed. You know, it's kind of funny that the spot that ended up being for that the location was Laredo, Texas. A relatively small town. One that they sold as many tickets as they could fit in that building with their setup. But they probably, for John Cena's return like that, they probably could have been in a bigger building. In a bigger town, but that's not how it went. And I guess we will see more of John Cena in the coming weeks.
It'll be kind of interesting. Jeremy had made mention to me recently that made mention that The Rock injured himself in just about every match that he had come back for. I wonder if John Cena is at the point where he is concerned about a potential injury with the number of projects that man has going on outside of things.
Yeah, I mean, we will see. I mean, he definitely did nothing physical last night. They didn't even have him come back out for a dark match segment to AA somebody. I mean, he had a very non-physical role, so that was interesting. That leads you to wonder, you know, once again, is his in-ring return that imminent? We are on the road to SummerSlam. In many ways, they have absolutely already moved past Money in the Bank, and to shift the focus into SummerSlam, especially over on the SmackDown side of things. And a little bit on the Raw side of things. You've already got the main event announced. You got Pat McAfee calling out Baron Corbin. And you've got over at Raw The Miz and Logan Paul. So SummerSlam is going to have at least two celebrity matches attached to it.
That thing on SmackDown, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, it's one thing when Pat McAfee was a one-time attraction match. This is getting kind of interesting if he is going to start to wrestle, like, with, say, the frequency of Shane McMahon.
It'll be very interesting to see. I mean, I doubt him and Corbin, you know, two former football players. You know, I'm rarely excited for a Corbin match, but you know, they could have some fun, I think.
That's going to be more of a comedy / spot thing, I would think, than a traditional straight on match. Although, I mean, obviously, we saw McAfee have a good, at least, match against Adam Cole. Baron Corbin is clearly not Adam Cole. So I'm not sure if Baron Corbin can really carry him to that good of a match.
I mean, arguably McAfee was, obviously he performed very well in the match against Theory. He actually carried that match. So, you know, once again, McAfee has the things that he can do and does well. He's definitely an athlete. So, you know, once again, it should be a good time. Then the Miz Logan Paul stuff. I know we've got Disingenuous Miz talking about that they're going to team up again. That seems plainly obvious that that's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is they're going to try to have a Logan Paul singles match at SummerSlam, where Logan Paul is going to be cast as the babyface. They're going to turn Miz babyface in this whole deal. You realize that, right?
I guess I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up happening. I guess I'm still not sure. Have they really booed Logan Paul badly?
Yes, they have. They've done a number of things with him, and including one where they tried to babyface him before.
That first time around didn't work.
Yeah, no, I think they had him on the Kevin Owens show, either Miz TV or the Kevin Owens show, and it just didn't go right. It did not go well. So Logan Paul, if you're going to use him, and once again, he performed very, very well at WrestleMania. You cannot take that away from him.
Oh,
if you're going to use him, heel.
It's not a hard thing, but I mean, it's weird because they painted themselves into this corner by having the Miz turn on Logan Paul at WrestleMania.
Now there are things that have been said that was actually Logan Paul's idea. And it was actually something that when they were working out the deal with him, that he wanted to leave as the good guy, and then come back and do another match to, in the face role. And that's what we're getting. Have fun with that. Well,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see it. I mean, they do. They have a better setup, and I think Miz can hold up his end of the bargain on the mic. Although that is still a weird and awkward way to start the feud.
See, I don't... It's... Logan Paul will have to work really, really hard to fight every natural inclination that he has to be a smarmy douche on the microphone. And that's going to be the problem. He may not think he comes off like a smarmy douche. A lot of people aren't self-aware of how they come off to other people.
Yeah, right.
This is going to require a lot of work.
Yeah, I still have not watched a video of his outside of what he's appeared on in the WWE.
You're a very lucky man, then. You can keep you're welcome to keep that streak going. You'll have missed nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't feel like I'm missing something. So even just from his general vibe and just, and also knowing about the stuff, like, I guess some of the stuff with him against Dana White cracks me up, just because anything that rankles Dana White cracks me up.
That's his brother.
But isn't he kind of complicit in that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, he's got his brother's back, but yeah.
I mean,
that is more his brother calling out Dana White.
Yeah.
And that is funny. Yeah, I mean, and he's right about all of that. I mean, that is your flying squirrel acorn scenario right there.
Because I do know, I know about the whole questionable, what was that, Suicide Forest bit?
That's definitely Logan Paul, yes.
So I mean, I'm at least aware enough to know why he's unliked, but it's still, it seems like when that is the most famous, the thing that you're most famous for, really, it seems hard to cast you as a babyface. They did, and reiterate, they're doing what they can, but it's going to be hard to work with.
Yeah.
So, seeing him completely change his personality would be interesting, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, I guess I wasn't really surprised. It really did seem like you don't have that happen at WrestleMania and not have some type of, follow-up match. Especially what? Because how many times was that Logan Paul's third time in a WWE ring area? Because wasn't he with Miz in another match, at least one other match?
No, he was with Sami Zayn when he fought Kevin Owens at last year's WrestleMania, at 2021 WrestleMania.
Okay,
that's what it was. Then they did a couple of things here and there with him after that. Then they did the tag match at this year's WrestleMania, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess he's been involved with them enough at this point that it would have been surprising if he didn't follow up. You know, he's not like Bad Bunny, who's got to actually do other stuff. I mean, I know that Logan Paul runs probably quite a nice business for himself there.
Yeah.
But it feels like that profession has some free time that maybe some people don't have. So, yeah. Good for him. It will be interesting. But you're right. Like there was a lot, which is kind of weird, especially on SmackDown, that they were really looking forward to SummerSlam and not the upcoming pay per view on. One thing that did kind of catch me by surprise that only caught my ear on Monday was the fact that it's a Saturday pay-per-view. Like, I'm sure that you might have mentioned that in your travel plans, but It was one of those things that, yeah, on Raw, it's like, oh, shit, that's right.
Yes, it will be on Saturday, and it will be up against UFC. It's a Fight Week show. International Fight Week show. What will Kevin DeFranco be watching live on Saturday?
You know, I have really been out of the UFC loop for kind of a while at this point, to be honest. Yeah, it just kind of hit the chopping block in the time department.
Yeah.
So easily it'll be, because I actually think we are doing a whole lot of nothing for the holiday weekend here. I will happily be at home and probably watching that. Especially since, hey, I can get that for free and not for $50, even though I'm paying for ESPN Plus. Rolls eyes, doesn't like the price still. Part of the problem. When it's rolled into a $5 a month payment, yeah, that's a much easier watch than something that's going to cost me an extra $50. Just saying. At least with, I guess that's the other thing that's rough with the UFC is that they kind of have roughly the equivalent amount of shows as anyone else, too, these days. For good reason. Like, they have their rabid fans, and they're trying to keep them. And so they have, like, a near constant stream of stuff. And it's hard to keep up with that much. You know? Much like everyone else, there sometimes is a quantity problem, and you need to make some choices. So yeah, I look forward to Money in the Bank, even though I'm not. I guess I am excited that Becky Lynch is in the women's Money in the Bank. Good way to transition back to Raw here.
Yes.
Because that was a true last chance, was it not? Like, the women's bracket is all filled out now.
Yeah, the women's is full, yes. And Becky Lynch, after weeks and weeks and weeks of downfall, finally got a win for herself, got herself into Money in the Bank. She's definitely in a good position in the match, because if they want to pull the trigger on a same night cash in to reheat up her and Bianca Belair, they could certainly do that. But there's also the women's field is pretty strong, especially on the Raw side. The Raw side is very strong. You definitely got to give it to the Raw side of Becky, Asuka, Liv, and Alexa. That is a strong core of women. SmackDown, on the other hand, what?
Keep going. I need to pull up the card.
Okay.
That's all I'm thinking.
On the other hand, not as strong. You got Raquel in there. You got Lacey Evans in there. You got Shotzi in there. Good opportunity for Shotzi. And for those of us who have seen Shotzi's NXT work, and even some of her independent work, that woman will go balls out in a ladder match, no doubt. She will, whether she wins or loses, there's a very good chance that she's going to steal the show in that match.
Yeah, I would put my money on her not winning. I would also put my money on her, like you said, kind of being the star of that match.
Yeah, it could be a very big match for her. It could be a big coming out party for her. So something that finally allows her to impress the right people and get something going for herself. Raquel, I think, very much in there to be a big strong girl who can base for things. Lacey, to a lesser extent, you know, can play that role as well.
Yeah, she is definitely, comparatively to Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan, she is definitely a bigger woman than those two.
Yeah, so again, so it's a good mix. You know, once again, kind of hard. Once again, the field is open. If they're not going for, if they're going to continue Becky Lynch on a downward spiral, she got one little win, but then she fails to win Money in the Bank. You could put just about anyone in this situation. Obviously, Money in the Bank has historically been more of a heel gimmick, but it doesn't mean that babyfaces haven't won a decent percentage of the time as well. So it's again. You could finally have Liv Morgan win a big match after being in so many big matches and coming up short. Alexa Bliss could be reheated up, but I don't know if you necessarily need to give it to Asuka. Asuka, previous women's Money in the Bank winner, so I think it was Alexa, but shorter time ago. We know they love their Lacey Evans. They're really trying with Raquel. I don't see Shotzi, but once again, it's a good amount of parity in this match as far as who could possibly win.
That situation does not happen too often. I feel like there's usually more of a focus on a couple of people. I'm with you. The Raw people do seem more likely. Shotzi is the only one that would truly surprise me if she won the match. You know? Like, out of all those names, she's the only one that truly... Lacey Evans is the next level of shock for me. Like, I don't think that they're going to do that right now for her. The other ones, though, I think there's about an even chance. And Asuka, might actually be on the downside of chances in this one.
Yeah.
They've kind of positioned her fairly well since coming back. And she can continue to be something of a thorn in the side of Becky Lynch's if neither of them ends up winning this matchup, too. So, to me, you completely leave open that door for Bliss and Morgan and Rodriguez to win this one. I guess you want to do a little preview on the men's side then. Do you think that's that field is as wide open as the women?
I think it's pretty wide open. I think it's okay. Let's throw out Sheamus. Sheamus isn't winning.
Yes, that I agree.
Okay, and you have the field. I feel like I got it in my head, but I feel like I'm missing.
There's Seth Rollins then. Definitely would not surprise me.
No. They've got the history of him teasing Roman and Brock, even though that was 7 years ago. And I don't know if he necessarily want to remind people how long ago they've been doing the same shit over and over again. But they're doing the same shit over and over again, so why not? And that's always a contender. So keep going.
The next one up, Drew McIntyre. Because
Drew is definitely
I would say that he's definitely a choice because you mentioned it already, in at least a sideways mention. The babyfaces have won it, and typically when babyfaces have won it, they have straight up made a challenge.
Yes.
And it would be unsurprising to me in the least, if Drew wins and then he makes it official that him and Roman is at the Cardiff show.
Yeah. Or him versus the winner of Roman versus Brock, yes.
Yeah, or says something like that. Yeah.
So, yes, McIntyre, a strong contender to get the briefcase and make a straight-up challenge for a specific date down the line, yes. That's definitely a very good chance that's
now. Yeah. Omos is in the match.
Almost, but not quite, I guess.
But
I don't...
I can't believe neither of us has gone with that joke before now.
Yeah. I'm not seeing him as a winner. It's not totally out of the question, but I'm not seeing him as a winner. He'll do some impressive big man spots, but before the end of the match, everyone will take him. We'll neutralize him with a flurry of offense. I think he'll be one of those deals.
Yeah, I would be pretty shocked. He lost to Bobby Lashley pretty definitively. It would be pretty strange. Not unheard of, but it'd be pretty strange for him to get the Money in the Bank briefcase off of this. Sami Zayn is the next person on the list.
Sami Zayn as the mercenary of Roman Reigns. Very, very good. You know, once again, I don't think they've ever done it like that, where someone is literally in the match. Well, no, I think they did it once. I think they did it. Wasn't it Kane in the Money in the Bank with like Seth Rollins as with the Authority? Not even trying to win the match for himself. But that was not trying to win the match for himself. This is somebody trying to win the briefcase and essentially put it on ice so no one goes after Roman Reigns.
Oh, right.
So they've never really done that before. So that could lead to some interesting scenarios, including can they really even trust Sami Zayn not to cash it in?
Yeah, well, and that's why I think that story could work really well. The fact that the percentage is down to 85% for the win rate is kind of funny. And Sami Zayn could definitely be one of those people that adds to that that loss percentage.
For a little bit, I think it got down to like 70 or 65. They had to bring it back up over the last few years. I think.
Oh, okay. Okay, it is possible. They had some of the, because I mean they referenced the John Cena loss. I think Austin Theory mentioned that in his promo actually. And that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, and then I think it was next year, wasn't when they tried when they gave it to Sandow, but then had him lose the match too. Corbin's fail.
If it wasn't the next year, it was pretty close by. Within a few years of each other.
There have definitely been some failures, and it did not help. So yeah, I think we even need to get this thing up past 85, really. Sami Zayn, winning it, holding it onto it on behalf of Roman Reigns, but then when the moment presents itself, going for it, you could definitely do something with that.
There would be a story to be told. I'm not sure that they're going to go that route, but that would not be terribly shocking. Like, it's been a fun story already. It would be even funnier with Sammy getting the briefcase. So I'm half looking forward to it in my heart, but thinking it's probably not going to happen. And then, as we kind of mentioned already, there is still a TBD spot. Then left for the men's Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I imagine that was going to go to Kevin Owens, and it still might. But we shall see what happens coming out of SmackDown.
I don't feel like they've hinted that there's a matchup for it on SmackDown. I could be wrong, but. We shall see. I don't know if they really have a chance getting added that late. I'm not sure that there's a name that they could add that would sway me away from the, I guess it is kind of Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre heavy. Well, no, and Sammy is a bit of a third wheel on this one.
But there's another one. Riddle's only way of getting back into contention is to win Money in the Bank.
Yeah, you know what? They didn't update this.
Oh, okay.
Because I was filling in the other woman for the women's match, knowing that that TBA was Becky, but I was not thinking, yeah, I forgot that Riddle won. And these knuckleheads, good God, CBS. Really? Really, CBS? This is what you do to me? Riddle is, would not be a surprising choice. He has had a lot of momentum. It started with the RK-Bro stuff, and despite a close loss to Roman Reigns, I don't even know if despite I should be using that word in that sentence, honestly. But anywho, he got the tough lock loss against Omos last week, and then he comes back with a big win this week. In the Battle Royal, along with some cool moves there. That was kind of a fun finish that him and The Miz had there.
Yeah, it was a very, very cool finish. Yes.
So, it would not be completely surprising if Seth Rollins ends up winning this, or Seth Rollins, Riddle, ends up winning the Money in the Bank. Like, he seems like a good, he can't fight Roman Reigns, and Corey Graves did do a good job of reminding everyone about that. So he could hop over to Raw, or is he kind of been brand hopping anyway?
He's been brand hopping, but there's an undisputed, but Roman's the undisputed champion.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But the Money in the Bank contract, I guess, supersedes the stipulation.
Okay. Yeah. Or you could just wait for a new champion, which is going to be a long time. I mean, that would be kind of surprising. For it to be held on to so long that Riddle never got to cash it in. Like, he had to sit out the whole year because Roman Reigns was still the champion the whole time.
Yeah. But no, I think they've established that the Money in the Bank contract supersedes the stipulation.
Okay. Riddle, real possibility, to be the challenger. It would be weird, though, if they brought him in and then had him lose to Roman again, though. Like, I don't feel like he's gonna be the guy to break the streak. So, I don't quite know why you would have him win Money in the Bank. Unless you foresee Roman losing that championship. And it would be awkward. Like, anyone that beats Roman's going to be a babyface. So, it would be a weird matchup to have Riddle against, you know, Drew McIntyre, for example.
Yeah, no, that would be a weird match. Oh my god, I just had a thought about a finish for SummerSlam. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar are both knocked unconscious for the count of 10. And then they decide to split, to give each of them a title. Then they split the, use that as an excuse to split the titles.
Callie called it here first. We will let that just sit there in possible audio infamy.
Okay, well, what's the timestamp on that so I can let the people know?
Probably around 44:30.
44:30. All right, I'll tell people 44. I'll tell people around 44 minutes. There we go.
As I've already stated, I remain until there is one belt, I remain suspicious of these belts being quote unquote unified. So yeah, especially since I mean you do still have women's champions on both shows.
Yeah.
That is something they have decided not to do. And they are getting some feature here at Money in the Bank. Although Bianca Belair versus Carmella seems like a pretty nothing affair to be talking about.
I mean, they're trying, and you can see... If you in any way follow Carmella on social media or on Twitter or Instagram, I think it might actually legitimately starting to be getting to her how people are treating her going into this match. You know, she seems like she's actually legitimately getting upset by how people are looking past her and just taking her for granted. But you know what? Carmella has had a hell of a career. Let's put that out there. She absolutely has, but it's been on the downswing for a little bit though too.
It's hard to even say downswing in some ways because they've given her TV time still for promos and whatnot, which not a whole lot of women get, and she's still in matches, but. Yeah, there's people only so much winning that can go around.
Yeah. People still struggle to buy her when she's facing the top women, and when she wins, it's a huge surprise.
Yeah, like, even though I feel like I was an early, hey, this championship run is turning out better than I thought when Carmella was champion way back a while ago... Because, yeah, that was after she won Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah, and she held on to that briefcase for a very long time.
Yeah, and then she picked her spot and won, and then carried it long enough to not be a complete joke. And it is hard to take her serious because she hasn't really won a lot. And... It was kind of funny to have her channel that in this week's promo. And I suppose I do like that they're downplaying a little bit the most beautiful woman in WWE part of the gimmick now and go more going back to the Mella is Money situation.
Yeah, there's something to that, yeah.
So, yeah, I do think that is a tweak in character that is for the positive. I still can't take her as someone who's going to beat Bianca Belair. Like, as much as I respect her, it really seems kind of far-fetched for her to win this match.
But not just beat her. Have anything real... Even have a long competitive match. That's
And I mean, they've played her more as a comedy act almost her whole career. As much as she's accomplished, and as much as I feel like in general have been fairly complimentary, because I think a couple of title defenses into her championship run, I started to go, hold on, she's kind of holding up her end of the bargain at a minimum.
Yeah.
I think that she did more than that. I'm not going to say she's a great in-ring technician at any juncture, I don't think. She has fine enough matches, though. So, yeah, she's kind of in a weird spot. where I do have a lot of respect for her, but she doesn't really seem like championship material. And I don't know what... Like, she'd have to go on something of a winning streak for her to be more easily, to me, featured as a women's champion. You know, she'd need to beat some of the other ladies in the division.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't foresee that really happening. Yeah. Good motivation. Still don't think it's going to change the outcome of that matchup. The other ladies matchup, Ronda Rousey, Natalya.
Their verbal sparring has been much better on Twitter than it has been on television.
You know, I actually felt like Ronda's response this week, this past week on SmackDown, was better than some of her other material.
Yeah.
That's like damning it with faint praise.
Because she was playing to people who saw their Twitter banter, but a very small percentage of the audience likely saw their Twitter banner. So it's just like, it sounded like she was just going way meaner than she needed to be too, but... But yeah, no, I mean, it once again, it'll be fine. They're both, you know, they've worked together before, they've trained together, they've teamed together, they know each other very well.
Yo.
They can have that shoot style, dungeon style match with a lot of submission stuff and moot holds and counter holds. This will be fine. Not the biggest match they could have done for Ronda at Money in the Bank. She probably would have had a bigger match had the show stayed at the stadium. But this is what us poor arena folk have to accept.
Yeah, and I guess it was just hitting me. I'm like, Carmella is in the early stages of becoming Natalya. Respected veteran who is hanging around for God only knows how long. And had a championship reign once. Did Natalya? Yeah, she had a championship reign at some point, right?
I think she's had a couple.
Yeah, okay. I knew that she did NXT, but I'm like, hold on. Did she get main roster, right? okay. Well, I talked about them in the John Cena portion of the show. Street Profits taking on the Usos for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. What do you think are the chances of the Street Profits become new champions and start to cause some problems in Roman Reigns' land?
I think the chances of them winning here is pretty good. You know, the Usos are coming up on nearly a year as champions themselves. It feels like time, you know. And there's also some heel teams burgeoning in Bon Raw and SmackDown that could certainly use a babyface champion to challenge. Because once again, the Usos have champions for a year, and they're running out of fresh opponents. I mean, even this is a retread of something they did last year.
Right, yes.
I mean, there's only so many tag teams at WWE. It's not exactly a priority. Although it's been more as a former priority these last few months. Definitely. But that's not going to last forever, let's be honest.
These periods pop up in the WWE, and they seemingly vanish just as quickly. We've had a rare something of a resurgence of the tag teams. I mean, I think we've talked about it a little bit. They are a little bit of a yeah, all of these are a little bit of a retread to some degree. Since you can also throw in New Day into this group, who have surrounded the tag team championships. RK-Bro was the only one that was truly new.
Yeah.
You know,
as of late. The tag team scene on Raw ended up, you know, fairly strong for a while because, you know, RK-Bro was definitely a good act to have, but now they've unified the tag titles. I think one or two teams have split in that time period. It's not as strong as it was. But, you brought the Viking Raiders back on SmackDown. Who's the heel team on Raw?
Do Gable and... I don't feel like Gable and the Alpha Academy have had a Street Profits feud?
Yes, they have, actually.
Okay.
last year on SmackDown. But once again, you could do that again. They brought the Viking Raiders back to SmackDown. So, and they appear to be getting the push. So again, a babyface champion definitely provides at least some fresh matchups.
I'm with you. That one would not be completely out there to see that change. I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of keep the bloodline rolling either. Like, that's a real 50-50 match for me, honestly. But yeah, it kind of seems like time. So I guess maybe it's 51-49. Austin Theory and Bobby Lashley. I guess we already talked about this one. That's the only other match on the card here, at least that I am reading from CBS Sports.
Yeah. A tight six-match card. Hopefully it all goes well. I mean, the ladder matches themselves are usually going to go pretty long, especially with entrances.
I feel like this is one of those shows that they, similar to the Royal Rumble, they give a wide berth to these multi-person matches.
Yeah.
And honestly, the Usos and Street Profits, I would be pretty surprised if that isn't on the longish side of matches. Ronda and Natalya would probably be on the longer side of women's matches, I would imagine. Not quite sure about Bianca and Carmella. But yeah, and then you got two long ladder matches that usually chew up a solid half hour plus. So yeah. And like you said, throw in entrances, and it's probably 45 minutes for each of them.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of time to go around. I suppose we saved the event that we did not watch for last here.
Yeah.
Neither of us end up getting Forbidden Door.
Apparently we missed out. We did miss out on a hell of a show. I never thought it wasn't going to be a good in-ring wrestling show. I never said that. I just said the build didn't interest me. And then once again, with a bunch of things coming up in my life, I don't regret not spending the $50. But I'm glad the show turned out all right. I'm glad everyone who ordered the show enjoyed it. It appears that if Tony Khan's estimates are correct, that it did better than certainly I thought it would do. You know, pay per view buys wise. So it's good. Good for them. I've heard nothing but praise for the show itself.
I would hope that we had made it clear. Whatever combination of us talked about it, it just was an interest level, not really a quality problem. And it did from the reviews that I read it. And I think one of the other knocks that we had was that it is predictable and. Honestly, it broke on predictable lines.
Oh yeah, it absolutely did. Yes. There was no way Moxley was losing.
Yeah.
There was no way. There was at least no way the IWGP Championship wasn't leaving with a New Japan guy, but Jay White retained. unfortunately, in a tough situation involving Adam Cole, apparently getting his second concussion in 4 weeks, just being just cleared to return to the ring, and then he gets another concussion.
I did not. I felt like I saw that there was an injury out there. I did not feel like I saw what the injury was as of this recording. So
the injury list in AEW is dwarfing the list in WWE, if you can believe that. And the WWE is getting pretty long too. So AEW, I don't know what they need to do. Maybe it's time to start telling your talent you don't have to treat every match like the main event, like you're in the main event. Trying to get 5 stars.
That's.
But this is just too much. This is just too much all at once.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to wonder if that's part of it. As much as I have enjoyed every Bryan Danielson match, did the fact that he was seemingly wrestling every Rampage and Dynamite contribute to future problems?
Absolutely. And obviously, he has been out to prove something with any and all shackles off to be the Bryan Danielson of old. And unfortunately, the head injuries of Daniel Bryan rear their ugly head again for him as well.
You do kind of wonder if the style that they're employing contributes to what is going on there. Like, obviously, injuries are, it's a sport, essentially. By all means, there's always a potential for injury when you're doing stuff like that. But sometimes the choices you make within that sport cause or prevent these things.
Yeah. I mean, people have said that, you know, WWE's wrestlers are at risk because, you know, they're working house shows every weekend. But AEW wrestlers put themselves at risk because they're only wrestling once a week, and your body just doesn't build up the callousness that it would if you're wrestling a full schedule. It's a kind of a catch-22 because both can be dangerous.
And I guess you don't know how many people on that. Well, I guess no one on that list is probably doing a whole lot of indie dates these days.
No, I don't think a lot of AEW guys. I think AEW has kind of scaled that back, and only, like FTR, I think do a solid number of indies.
Yeah, and I know that Eddie Kingston was at AIW recently.
Yeah, and Moxley is still the champ, even while being an AEW interim champion. Moxley, I believe Moxley is still GCW champion.
So there's definitely some flexibility in there.
They do have the flexibility, but it's not an every weekend grind like WWE, like you're on the WWE schedule. You're picking and choosing your dates.
I'm with you. Maybe even marginally more often might not be so bad in some of these situations too. So yeah, you never completely know what is fully contributing to the situation, but that could be part of it. Going crazy for that type. Well, I mean, I guess at least that was at a pay per view. I guess we should give it that much. Man, tough break for Cole, though.
Definitely.
Man, good luck in recovering from that. Yowzers. And what? Yeah, because basically the AEW guys won for the most part, and the New Japan guys took a whole lot of L's. in these matches.
Well, I mean, I know, well, obviously, Jay White won, Ospreay won, there was some match where AEW and New Japan people were teaming with each other, so it wasn't really a company versus company competition, so.
Yeah.
I don't think they were keeping score to any real degree. It wasn't like the Survivor Series.
And I guess I'm scrolling through the results here. Pac wins the We Have Too Many Championships AEW All Atlantic Championship in its debut. Any thoughts on him being the choice for the winner?
You know what? He's someone who can go out on TV and have good matches. So, you know, as good a choice as any, I guess.
Yeah, if he has his travel issues solved, I'm all for this. Just because he has, had quite a few issues of his own creating. It's kind of stunted his AEW run for the most part. Hopefully that problem is solved and all will go smoothly with this new championship. Good God, yeah. I don't even feel like I'm just going to mention just because I hate it so much. Dudes with Attitudes. Moving along. Thunder Rosa. Not surprised that she ended up winning her match against Toni Storm there.
A little surprising because they've just given no to this Thunder Rosa title run, and a second high profile loss for Toni Storm not helping her out at all.
Oh, no. No, she's a... I thought either or was going to be in a... Whoever lost this match was going to be in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Like you said, Thunder Rosa's title run has been kind of bad. There have definitely been some rumors out there. Not helping her out. So there is that kind of thing. Then there's, like you said, Toni Storm's already had now two high-profile championship match losses.
Not so much a championship match, because it was the Britt Baker loss in the Owen tournament.
Oh, that was in the tournament. I felt like, I don't know why I thought she got a pretty early on championship match against Britt.
Because you're confusing her with Ruby Soho, who is in the same situation.
Oh, good God. Yeah, well... Yeah, the
getting these big matches and losing them.
Yeah, the women's division, not great. I suppose a little bit of a surprise, not surprise. Claudio Castagnoli ends up being the new Blackpool Combat Club member. This one seemed like it was one of the higher percentage chances.
He was the favorite to be the mystery guy. And once again, and people were expecting it. It was delivered to them. Yeah, wrestling companies are actually getting good at that. That the surprise that you know who it is, and they don't change their mind on it just because everyone knows who it is, because that's who they want it to be as well. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's okay to know. Maybe you can even convince yourself in your mind that maybe it won't be. There's still that moment of doubt until that music hits. But yeah, no. He's in AEW. He will, I think, get a better. I think he'll be better suited for AEW, and he can he will be more appreciated for just going out and having good matches.
Yeah, but that'll be interesting, though, if that's what he just gets into, is being a good match guy there, too.
Yeah, you know what? It's not like he has no personality. Because you should see him on the up, up, and down, down stuff. He has a dry, wit about him. He's a dry, sarcastic wit. He's not devoid of personality. He's just not a big personality that, you know, the type that Vince McMahon would get. So hopefully whatever he does in AEW can accentuate his positives and hide his weaknesses. And his biggest positive is the guy's a hell of a damn wrestler.
true. And then it was just the couple of big matches after that we've covered already between Moxley and Tanahashi and the Jay White, Adam Cole, Adam Page matchup there. Anything else to talk about on the wrestling front before hitting the old dusty trail here?
No. I will be back here next week with my live Money in the Bank Road Report.
Outstanding. I found a red clay cider from Charlotte there in my beer fridge that I thought I'd drank all these out of an abundance of, hey, ciders are supposed to be drank fresh kind of situation. Well, found another one. Cran Eye for the Orange Guy. Cranberry Orange Cider. It's really tart from the cranberry part, and the sweet part from the orange really comes in as the secondary wave of flavor, and it's pretty doggone tasty, and it has a little bit of that also that sweet, that regular cider sweetness. So there's kind of a double sweetness going with a whole lot of pucker up front from that cranberry. So yeah, if you happen to be in Charlotte, A, hit up at Granny Mays, B, have him take you to Red Clay Cider, which is all of a whopping 5 minutes from his house. So yeah, good place to drink in Charlotte. And check it out should you ever be there. That is the Belltime beer from at DeFrango 11. That is at Stunt Cali on the other end. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.